You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan. You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for July 15th. Good morning, Horse World.
You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast, where we explore the versatility of the world's most popular breed of horse, the American Quarter Horse.
We have a super fun show for you guys today, and it is all about rodeo. That's right. We are talking about where quarter horses, dare I say, shine the brightest. I mean, we all know they're superstars, but I don't think anybody can think about rodeo without a quarter horse.
That's like traditional quarter horse.
That's the meat and potatoes. Horse.
Yeah, that's America. That's the West.
Yeah, America.
The whiskey.
Says the girl who doesn't drink.
I know.
We have some really cool guests lined up for you today. First up, we have Casey Jones, who is a 9-time NFR qualifier in bulldogging and also the creator of a pro fantasy rodeo and Rodeo Vegas, which basically is like fantasy football, but for rodeo. So cool.
It's rodeo gambling.
Yeah. Love it.
Ashley, I need to ask you, though, what's bulldogging?
What's bulldogging?
What's bulldogging? There's not dogs, right? Dogs aren't involved in that.
There's no dogs. There's no dogs. But bulldogging is wild to watch if you have not seen it. So we have two people on two horses, and a calf is released, and this is a timed event. These people chase down the calf at full speed. They jump off their horse while it's running. One person gets the calf and ties him up and the other one pulls the line or something like that. I'm not really sure what the second guy does. All I know is that people are flying off horses, tackling calves. Nobody gets hurt. Don't call PETA. It's okay. But it is so fun to watch, you guys. As a matter of fact, years ago, my husband went to air quotes cowboy camp and rode with the cowboy that I trained my Mustang under for the Mustang makeover. And he tried bulldogging himself. And he said it was the most fun he's ever had on a horse.
It looks very intense.
It's like adrenaline on adrenaline.
Yeah, people just hollering. And they're. It's really cool to watch. But my goodness, I like to trot on the ground. Okay, I'm not going after a cow. I'll sit there and be like, that's a pretty cow. But I'm not running after a cow.
Listen, me and Kat are not going to do anything that's going to mess up our moneymakers, which is our face. Okay, we know this is an audio thing, but we're not messing up the moneymakers, guys.
No, just trust me.
And then to follow up, you know, the big NFR qualifier pro rodeo vibe, we actually have a mother-daughter barrel racing duo joining us who was recommended to us by an auditor, and you'll learn more about Liza and Evelyn later.
I'm very excited to chat with them and get the perspective of a mother and daughter duo in this, because I don't think we've had a mother and daughter on here before.
No, we haven't, and it rings really close to my heart because I spent years showing with my mom and... It's the best memories that I have. It's beautiful. It's tough sometimes because, you know, teenage girls and moms,
Oh, yeah. My mom never showed. Like, I got her to do some halter classes a couple times, but she never showed. She just would always be like, so why didn't you spin faster?
Duh.
Why did you not? Why did he kick out? I'm like, I don't know, Mom. So, yeah, there's the highs and lows, but definitely it creates such good memories that you're always going to hold on to when you're with your mom at a show.
Agreed. Moms are all of our number one fans. We love them. We're a pro-mom show over here.
Oh, yeah. I remember anytime I won a class, she would be more excited than me, I swear.
Oh, same. Same. My mom, it was great because if I messed up in the class, I would be so hard on myself. And she'd be like, you did XYZ great. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I did ABC wrong. And so she started saying, you suck, when I came out of the arena. And I'm like, thank you. I know. In full teenage Ashley angst is a beautiful thing.
I could picture this.
Well, let's enough chatting, Kat. Let's get to Casey. Yeah. Let's learn about, let's win some money.
Yeah, so we're going to be chatting with Casey Jones. He's a fan of horses in the morning, and so we had to have him on here. As you said, he's a 9-time NFR qualifier in bulldogging and the creator of Pro Fantasy Rodeo and the Rodeo Vegas watch parties and concerts. So, Casey, what inspired you as a rodeo athlete to create a fantasy rodeo platform?
I kind of grew up, you know, in Southeast Colorado in a little farm, and we just had a few buddies that always kind of, you know, the Super Bowl is a national finals rodeo, you know, and just like the Super Bowl, like a lot of people watch NFL, but everyone watches the Super Bowl, the housewives and it, you know, everybody. And so that's kind of the same thing with the national finals rodeo that, we always kind of gathered around and like, hey, let's get a team together, you know, and then we put a few bucks in and we thought, well, if we get this online and then we could win more money. And so we've been doing it 22 years now. We're really, proud of how it creates attachment points, how it creates rodeo fans. We get the calls, you know, from, you know, the 800 line, you know, and one call might be saddle bronc riding. Then we kind of keep up with that player. And then pretty soon he has season tickets for Ellensburg, Washington, and he'll call and, you know, and then kind of ask questions like, well, how come this guy's not winning? I'm, you know, well, that's just rodeo, I guess, you know, but we're really proud of, you know, we've paid out over $7 million in the last 22 years. And then, but we see the difference on how it creates, you know, fanatics, you know, it creates rodeo fans. And like, it was kind of fun. We gave away a Cybertruck at the National Finals Rodeo. We actually had a brand new Ram 3500 Dooley all tricked out with a, you know, a four horse elite horse trainer as a grand prize, or you could get the Cybertruck. Well, we had a rancher, Shane Reese from up there in South Dakota, and his daughter's just getting into junior rodeo. And so he picked the truck and trailer. And so we kept the Cybertruck to give away for our American fantasy game that was in April. And the guy that won it, he played the national finals game because he wanted a chance at the Cybertruck. We ended up winning $10,000 at NFR, and then he was excited to see we put the Cybertruck up for the American fantasy, and so he won like $20,000 there and a Polaris four wheeler. Like he cleaned up. But like the reason I want to give away the Cybertruck is getting new people in, you know, because like, hey, if I figure out rodeo, I might have a chance to win a Cybertruck. And so we've seen it. We did have a lot of good feedback of, you know, bringing in new players, just figure out if they could see if they had a chance at rodeo to win a Cybertruck.
He sounds like a lucky guy. 20K and a Cybertruck.
he's an addict now. He's like, when's the next game? When's the next game?
I don't blame him at all. And you said you've been doing this 22 years. How have you seen it evolve over that time with technology changing and just the crowd changing?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, so we, you know, like back it was in 2003. That's just right when, you know, kind of everybody was starting to get online. We're like, well, this is great. We'll make a website and then everybody can, you know, get in there. Well, most of our entries come when we had we just have a sheet and it's real easy. You don't have to draft or anything like that. You just pick one in each event and that's your finals team for all 10 rounds. And you have to stay under a salary cap. And so most of our entries, we'd mail them out to, you know, we'd get, you know, any, you know, physical addresses. And then we'd go around to sell barns or, you know, rodeo events and leave our flyers. It's, most of them come in with checks, you know, because back then, especially in our industry, like, I'm not going to run a credit card online. There's no way I'm going to run a credit card online. And so most of them come in with checks and then we'd put them in the, you know, in the computer when we got them. And then, it wasn't until 6 years later, 7 years later, the smartphone come out, you know, and then started seeing a little bit more increase in online entries versus just mailing them in. And then now it's, you know, most of our, you know, you can get a fantasy team and everybody already has their credit card logged into their phone and they can click 10 buttons and they have their fantasy team and they're entered. So it has evolved a lot.
So you went from being a rodeo cowboy to being this mega gambling cowboy f- fun party dude. And we've heard about these parties, which I want to get to. But let's rewind a little bit and tell me about your experience in rodeo. I know that you are a 9-time NFR qualifier yourself in bulldogging.
Yes, ma'am. So I grew up on a little farm. My dad rodeoed, and I wanted to be like dad. And then, junior rodeo, we went to the National Little Butchers Association, all their rodeos, junior rodeos, gymkhanas, and then the high school. I was fortunate to win enough in high school to get a full ride rodeo scholarship. First 2 years at Sterling Northeastern Junior College, and then went to University of Wyoming. And so kind of kicked it off there. After I was in got a business marketing degree there at UW. And then after that, I just come back and kind of amateur rodeoed and didn't really think that, you know, that it was able to, you know, really go against the big dogs, you know. And but I had a lot of experience because, like, I trained horses in high school and broke horses in high school and college. That's how I paid my entry fees. And so I got to really becoming good with the horse, you know, and like I could get by other horses that other guys could, and I could spot good horses, you know, a little bit easier and be able to, you know, get enough confidence, have them get enough confidence in me that they'd really try hard. And so started, you know, kind of really being able to crack into the upper ranks of rodeo by riding really good horses, and been forcing over the years to really have a lot of good horses and train the horses, you know, and then they become like family, you know. We don't flip them, we don't sell them. Like, if you're ever come to the Jones Ranch, you're staying at the Jones Ranch, you know. And so we just T-Bow is a horse I won the American on, he was 28 this year. We just put him down by the pond, and then Money was the first horse I made the national finals on. Actually the second year, and he was lived to be 33. And so we have, they all overlooked the ranch down there on the pond. So investment is they're vested for life with us.
What are you putting in the water to make them live so long? I want to know.
So we just really appreciate what they've done for us, you know, and their family, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So what is it about quarter horses that make them good at rodeo and the events that they have to do?
You know, they're just so versatile. And you know, like in steer wrestling, you know, there's kind of a misconception that if you can't do another horse, you know, any other bit on a horse, you do it on steer wrestling. You know, you just put them in the steer wrestling and they'll run by. But actually, it takes a really focused equine, and like they really have to love it, because you have to sit there just still and not move until the rider, you know, lets them go, and then they have to run as hard as they can, go to the back end, come back and do it again. Like, you know, it's a tough job, but then those horses that love it, like they're few and far in between. You know, they're really, really hard to find. You can go through 1,000 to find one that'll be at the National Finals Rodeo. You know, they're just kind of like in basketball. You know, how many times you see a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James, you know, like they're just one in a million.
So tell us about the upcoming American Performance Horseman Game. I understand that's going to be out actually a day after this podcast airs.
It's really exciting. So this is our third year of the American Performance Horse. And so this year we're moved it to Dickies, like in Fort Worth. They're big.
Oh, yeah. Really, oh, nice, yeah.
Really nice arena. And so we're going to have 8 competitors, 8 in the cutting, 8 in the reining, 8 in the national reining cow horse. And so to get your fantasy, so we're giving away X-Mark mowers, zero-turn mowers. They're awesome. I wish I could play because I wanted to win it so bad. But the grand prize is a zero-turn Texas Edition X-Mark mower. And so all you have to do is you pick a contestant in the cutting, reining, and the national reining cow horses, you know, the cow horse event. And so that's your fantasy team. And then you have a tiebreaker team where you just pick 5 of, you know, of all the contestants entered. It's kind of your tiebreaker team. And then you just sit back, let them compete, and hope you win. Entries, it's for $29.95. We're paying over $50,000, including the X-Mark mower. And then all you have to do is just go to profantasyrodeo.com and then pick your you know, performance horse team before June 19th at 7 p.m. because that's when it starts.
So can I just pick the prettiest ponies? I'm going to be honest with you. Is that an option? Yeah. Are the horses listed?
That's what I do at, you know, at the horse race anyway. I like that gray.
That's exactly. Listen, if there's a bottle of wine with a horse on the label, I'm buying it. That's just how I roll.
Only right. Wine I'll drink. There's a horse on the label.
But it's amazing, you know, like this is our third year doing the performance horse. And I'm, you know, kind of not from that market, you know, that industry. I'm more, you know, a rodeo. But it's crazy how talented those horses are, you know, and like they're, you know, like in the ring and they're ballerinas in the cut. And they're just so gritty and just determined, you know. And so, yeah, like I've gotten, you know, the last 3 years got to know the riders and kind of became a fanboy of some of the trainers and how hard they work. It's nuts. They, you know, they get in the barn at you know, when the sun, before the sun's coming up, and they don't leave until 2 hours after, you know, when they might be riding. Well, a few of the riders are, you know, riding 15 to 20 horses that they haul to shows. It's crazy, their work ethic, and they're so talented. It's, you know, at that top level. But, you know, like, it's really cool because, you know, like, there's not very many events where you get to see cutting, reining, and the working cow horse, you know, all in one performance. And then they're going to have the Brothers Osborne play the concert there. But it's going to be a night to remember. Make sure you get your tickets, and you can also watch it online. Cowboy Channel Plus has a live stream if you're not able to make it to Dickie's Arena. But I'm really excited for, like, right now we're heading up to Calgary this weekend. We do free games, rodeo games. We have a free game right now we do every night during the summer run on the Cowboy Channel. It's called Rodeo Picks, and so it's sweepstakes. It's not fantasy, so it's free to play. And so, like, Calgary's going on right now. So all you have to do is just go to rodeopicks.com and you pick a contestant in each event to win the event. If you're right, we pay you $10,000. No questions asked.
I'm not a gambler, but you might get me gambling.
Yeah, it's great. And we really like to see, you know, it really helps, you know, like people, you know, tune in to rodeo and paying attention and like picking a favorite. And then like, oh, I better see who's up in the, you know, breakaway rope in the day or in the bell race in the day. And so it really gets you involved. And like, you know, I'm running the games and putting some of the results in, and Jordan, he's awesome. He does it. But then like we were watching Calgary yesterday, and the only reason we're doing it is because like we're, you know, running the game. But Anita Ellis is crazy. Do you see that in the first pool at Calgary? So she started training barrel horses in 2019, and she smoked them all, like the first round by a 2/10. The second round, she has a sawhorse, smoked him. And like, I'm, you know, I rodeo and I keep up with all the contestants and never even heard of her. As the second round, she just lays down a run and just smokes them all. And it pays $7,000 a day at Calgary. So it's really good money.
Who doesn't love an underdog? I mean, yeah. That's awesome.
So what was crazy is the third round, she decides to switch horses. I'm like, you're almost guaranteed $7,000. And I don't know what you're doing, you know, switching horses. So in the third round, two riders before her, Emily Beisel, breaks the arena record at Calgary. Like, breaks the arena record. And Calgary's been going on for a long, long time. So Anita Ellis comes in on her new horse, a gray 5-year-old, breaks her arena record, wins all three rounds of the pool. Just crazy. Crazy.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. And like, you know, like I really, really love rodeo, and, you know, but just to, you know, to get people like Rodeo Picks, you know, it gets people to where it doesn't cost anything. You get to cheer your team, win or lose. And then like every day, whoever gets the most correct, if nobody won the $10,000, and whoever gets the most correct picks wins a buckle. So we have a custom Tres Rios buckle that says Summer Run Rodeo Picks, Calgary Stampede, or whatever day you want it. And then for every pick until the 1st of October for every game, so like if I'm playing Calgary today and my bareback rider wins. So my name goes in the hat for 20,000 when we draw October 1st. And so we did a Texas swing series this winter for Houston, Austin. There was, you know, some of the six big winter rodeos, and we did rodeo pick season. And the winner was, we drew for a custom barn dominium. And so a lady, retired school teacher, Susan McGinnis from, she was up around north of Dallas. She won it, and she was so excited. And they did, and they're going to build an RV barn because they want a barn for the RV. And so this summer run rodeo picks is we're giving, we didn't get a barn to give away. We're giving to give 20,000. So guaranteed 20,000. So every time you play, you get entries if you get the right event winner in before October 1st.
You know, I'm just going to say for all of our female listeners, which is 95% of you, I think this might be a great way to get your husband into horses, guys. Pro
and
tip.
And a barn dominium.
Right and now. A barn dominium. So.
Well, if you win the 20,000, maybe you don't have to ask the husband.
Oh, Casey, I see you. I see you.
Oh, okay, Casey. So we ask our guests the same question at the end of every episode. Tell us a funny story about your favorite quarter horse.
Yeah, so I have so many in my career, you know, and so many that I train and just love them like family. Probably Tebow. I don't know. Like I was talking about the paint horse before we jumped on live, but he was a horse I had in college rodeo, and we did every event on him at the rodeo team. Like, you know, I did all the events on him and timed events. And then the girls, we had about four or five girls from the college breakaway on him and breakaway on him. He was a favorite for the rodeo team. Like, he was just so laid back. And we called him Dos Patos, which means two, like, well, different variations, but I thought it meant 2 feet. And so, because I healed on him also, you know.
Sure.
But, like, so many photos in college, like, you know, we'd get up early to go to the, you know, go catch him and he'd be laying down. And so they just get on him and you know, take pictures with him laying down. But he was great. And then Tebow, the horse I won the American on, that he was kind of – I named him after Tebow because he wasn't the fastest, but he was just a workhorse. And he did the same thing every time, and he was a winner. So many good horses over my career, and I owe it all to them.
Oh, my gosh. Like, what a perfect ending to a great interview, Casey. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us one more time where people can go and win all of this money and amazing prizes, please.
A barn dominium and a Cybertruck.
Yeah, so for the free game that we do every day, or the big rodeos on the Cowboy Channel, you can go to Pro Fantasy or RodeoPicks.com is the free game that we do every day. And then if you want to, you know, really put some skin in the game, $29.95. We're going to give over $50,000 on July 19th at profantasyrodeo.com for your performance horse team.
All right, everybody, you heard it here. Get those entries in and win you some money, honey. Sentinel is the horse feed trusted by champion equestrians, veterinarians, and world-class breeders. They count on its expertly crafted extruded formulations to meet the specific nutritional needs of their horses. And you can too. Just visit feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed and answer a few questions about your horse, and you'll be guided to the feed that best fits their needs. With Sentinel's full line of 100% extruded feed, you'll find the perfect fit for your horse, no matter their age or activity level. Get started today at feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed.
From early morning feedings to late night barn checks, horse care follows a rhythm, and Chewy helps you keep in step. Whether it's grooming for that shine, gear to protect every ride, or the supplements that power their stride, Chewy delivers what you need when you need it. Fast shipping, flexible auto ship, and trusted brands mean you can focus on the feel of the reins, not the stress of the supply run. Your horse counts on you, and you can count on Chewy to match the beat of your barn life. For every season and every reason, start your order today at chewy.com/equine.
And joining us now is sister of auditor Katie, twin sister, might I add, and also horse girl and horse daughter, we have Liza and Evelyn joining us from Vermont. This is a mother-daughter barrel racing duo out there tearing up the rodeo world. Thank you, Liza and Evelyn, for joining us today. And I have to ask, first off, how you both got started in barrel racing and what led you to competing?
Well, I've been barrel racing for years. I actually moved to Alabama for a short time in my early 20s to learn under a trainer, and then came back to Vermont and, you know, settled down, married, had kids, and I was still barrel racing through all that. I would, once the kids got old enough, I would take them with me. They were doing the peewee on their ponies, and Evelyn was doing it on her pony. And then, so we were mainly doing NBHA. And then we heard about the High School Rodeo Association, and we kind of started steering our way towards that because it was something that Evelyn was very interested in doing.
So what is it like sharing the competition experience as a mother and daughter?
It's been an amazing experience because I'm doing it with my daughter. I'm sharing knowledge that I have, and I'm learning new things. And the high school rodeo was not an option when I was growing up here in Vermont. It's actually only been here for a few years. So I'm just excited to see the opportunity that she has and that my younger daughters will have if they choose to take that route as well. What do you think, Evelyn?
I think it's really nice to have a mom that knows what she's doing, and that really helps me get through it when I'm having like trouble figuring something out or just like stumped. She can guide me through it, and it's just easier and better for me, I think.
I totally get that, Evelyn. I actually grew up showing with my mom, and while it wasn't rodeo, it was more eventing and hunter jumpers. To this day, it's still some of my favorite memories. It was such special time to spend together and, like you guys are saying, grow and learn together. And I always love seeing the horse bug passed down from generation to generation. And it's so special that you guys are able to share that together. I just love it.
So tell us a little bit about your quarter horses. Do you guys share a horse? Do you have multiple? What's the shindig there?
I have my own horse. My own quarter horse, and my mom has her own quarter horse.
Tell them about your horse.
My horse's name is Betty, and she's 17.
So she came to us already trained, which was perfect because Evelyn got to ride a horse that was already seasoned. She's already has been competing in arenas. So Evelyn was able to just get on and sort of build her confidence and skills, which she's done over the last couple of years. She was running, you know, really slow times, and now she just ran her fastest time this last weekend at the rodeo that we were just at. She ran an 18.4, which was pretty amazing for her fastest time, and won the 2D first place.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thanks.
That is very fast. I am very impressed. I like to keep all their feet on the ground and go on a jog, so I give you so much credit.
And the interesting thing about Betty is she's not bred in the sense to be a barrel horse. She's Western pleasure bred. She's out of Zippo Pine Bar breeding.
That's my favorite line, Liza. Oh my gosh, say less. No, keep going.
And she's a beautiful bay mare. And when you see her on the lunge line, you can see the movement there. But when you ride her, that horse knows barrels. That's her job. And that's all she's ever known. Evelyn dabbled a little bit with some local showing and did okay. But the horse is a barrel horse through and through, despite the fact that she was bred to be a Western pleasure horse. But it's all athletic lines. There's Sunny D Bar in there. So she's bred to be athletic, just in a different performance than what she was bred for. And she's so honest, and that's why I love her for Evelyn. I was sort of pushed to have Evelyn run her. I was being a little bit of a nervous mom, being a little overprotective.
It's allowed.
She just got off a 30-year-old mare, and I was like, I don't know if she's ready. And my niece really pushed me to have her. It was my niece's horse, actually, Katie's daughter, Chloe. And so she got on and Evelyn's just loved it. She's just been fearless since she started riding her. But Betty is so honest that I trust her completely. She stands up on the ground well. She doesn't buck. She doesn't run up the barrel. She's just very, very honest. I mean, she has some other quirks that we deal with, but they make it all worthwhile because she's so honest and good to Evelyn.
Well, it'd be boring if you know, they were perfect all the time.
Well, they say the best horses have quirks, so I always go with that.
Absolutely. And Liza, tell us about your quarter horse.
My horse is actually bred to be a barrel horse. Her name is Trust My Fortune. We call her Keeper. And she is out of Tress Kings, who goes back to Tress Ace, who's one of the top barrel horses right now, or barrel studs right now. And she's 10 years old. She's also a seasoned barrel horse, which has been really amazing for me as, you know, a working full-time mom, that I don't have to worry about any sort of training or seasoning. I can just get the kids going and then I can get on and I can ride her. So she's been really fun. The goal, I think, is for her to become Evelyn's horse next. Evelyn will step onto her to pursue when she goes into the high school part of the rodeo. Right now she's in the juniors. So that's the goal.
Yeah, I'm just finishing out my junior year with my other horse, Betty, and then I'll probably start high school with Keeper.
I mean, I'm a big fan of stealing mom's horses. That's how I got my quarter horse, so it worked out great for me, I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's going to work out great for Evelyn, too.
So how do you guys manage all this? It sounds like you have a very full plate. How do you manage daily life, showing, all of it?
Well, we're lucky to live on a big farm. My parents have an 80-acre farm here in Vermont. We have beef cattle. And we actually have, I think, 7 or 8 horses all together. But they're luckily not all ours.
No.
My youngest has a pony. And then we have Keeper and Betty. And then my middle daughter has her horse, and she prefers to trail ride. So we basically just, when we get done work, like after we're done this, we're planning on going out on a pasture ride to check the cows. We have a couple that are due to calve. And we try to mix in riding in the arena with doing a lot of trail riding and pasture riding, just to keep their minds good. And we just don't want to overrun them on the pattern and have them get sour.
Yeah, it's more fun for our horses to do trail rides instead of just going on our patterns. We still practice our patterns, but it's more fun and it gives them more experience to be on the trails and get conditioned there.
Absolutely, and gives them a chance to be a horse too, you know? I always, all of my competition horses were also trail horses, I think. Just like, you know, I wouldn't want to do math homework every day. Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm a podcaster and not a mathematician.
Yeah.
Valid.
So yes, what valid advice would you give to a mother-daughter set that was considering showing together? Maybe not necessarily barrels or rodeo, but What's some tried and true advice you guys have gotten along the way? Because I'm sure you guys have never had an argument, not a mom and a daughter.
You need a lot of patience with them. You need to know, like, there's going to be some rough, like, you won't always agree on what you guys are saying to each other, but you'll get through it, and it usually gets better through it.
I've had to learn to back off a little bit and not be so controlling. And actually something my sister Katie told me was just let them have fun and they'll figure it out. Because if you are kind of nitpicking, it's going to not be as fun for them. So I find as Evelyn's gaining more experience and she's figuring out Betty better than I know her or anyone else knows her, because she's the one that rides her, that I've learned to just back off from our pre-race talks. You know, I just say, do what you got to do. Do what you know to do. And I had to learn that, because I used to be very, make sure you're doing this and do this and be safe and, you know, a little bit overprotective and being a little nitpicky. So I think it's good to kind of back off and let your kid take the confidence and take the reins for lack of a better word.
We love a good pun.
To just go with it. And they'll learn, they'll make mistakes and they'll learn from them, but they're going to learn better from making them themselves than you telling them that they're going to do it.
You also need to know what works for you and you. You need to know what works for each other and how you guys work together and figure out the balance between each other to... Yeah.
And one thing I'll say as from being a mom, the last 2 years, I really put my competition side on the back burner and just was letting Evelyn go because it was just, I wanted to just focus on her and it, you know, not have too many distractions or trying to balance it all. But then I bought Keeper and I had some young, I had young horses that weren't quite ready to go out. So that, you know, made it hard too. So last fall, I bought Keeper, and the intent was for her to be for my daughter, but she's just doing so well with Betty that I decided to run her, and I'm glad I did because I really think that we have to remember as moms, we need to go out and have fun too. We need to enjoy this experience if we want to, and it's perfectly fine if we want to sit on the sidelines and be a rodeo mom from the side, but I think it's good to get out there and do it and remember why you love this sport. And let your kids see that you can you can do with this your whole life. You just because you become a mom doesn't mean you put your priorities to the side.
Louder for the people in the back, Liza. My son turns one tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and I've been hitting the trails because I need to get on a horse. Gosh darn it! And
Absolutely.
So
you need that.
Yeah, you do. And I think that's a beautiful notion. You know that it is fine if you want to be a cheerleader too. Cool, we support you, but. Some horse is good for everybody. You know what I mean?
This is some great advice. So, guys, we ask everybody the same last question at the end. Tell us a funny story about your favorite quarter horse.
Do you want to tell a story, Evelyn?
So my quarter horse I have now, Betty, we went to Nationals 2 years ago, and we were in the ring, and she went one way, I went the other, and I fell off, but I was completely fine. And when I fell off, I just, like, did a tuck and roll, and I got up and I started laughing because it was just, like, what else could you do? And so...
What else can you do on national TV?
Yeah.
Laugh.
And so I got my horse, and we were completely fine. But then the photos came out, like, a little while, like, a week after or something, and we got a photo of me falling off like a Superman, hands first, off my horse, and it was just very funny.
You'll never forget that.
No.
Please tell me we have that framed somewhere, Mom and Evelyn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we might need that picture for the show art. I'm not going to lie to you.
The artwork, yeah.
We'll send
people
it.
Will be like, what? You have to listen to find out.
We both laughed at it, and it was just one of those things. What can you do? You know, it was the first time at Nationals. It was a big stage, something that she wasn't used to. And what can you do but just have fun?
It was also my first time ever falling off a horse.
No way.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If you're going to do it, honey, do it big.
Go big or go home. I like it.
I like it. That's awesome.
Picture.
Liza, what about you?
Well, I don't know. Probably a similar experience. So maybe it is like mother, like daughter. I went to my first super show, this Syracuse super show in New York. And I was on my first real high caliber horse. And he was fast. And it was only the second time I've competed him because I had just bought him. And we were coming around the third barrel and I lost my stirrups and I was just trying to stay on as best I could. We almost hit the tractor. We just barely made it inside of it. And luckily the gate guys were waving their hands and stopped them at the end because that horse didn't have a very good whoa button. And with no stirrups, just trying to cling on, I wasn't really pulling the reins back too much, but... I did stay on, thankfully.
Hey,
it took all I had.
Sometimes that's all that matters, and that's the best we can do, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you guys today, and we can't wait, Evelyn, to watch you become the next barrel racing rodeo queen of the world. We are your cheerleaders, girlfriend.
Thanks.
Liza and Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us today on the Quarter Horse Show.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning.
Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell your friends all about the world's favorite breed of horse.